were listening to the music of Desron Douglas, and you are also listening to A Noise from the Deep, the Green Leaf Music Podcast. My name is Michael Bates.
And I'm Dave Douglas.
Good to be here.
It is good to be here. It's beautiful to hear that music. Josh Evans is a great, great trumpet player that I admire very much, and I have had the chance to play with him a couple times.
Nice.
So it'd be great to be talking to Desron and hear more about all this music.
What's happening, Dave? How you doing?
How are you doing? It's good to meet you.
My little B, it's good to meet you too.
Yeah.
Status over the phone, but I'm sure at some point
in person soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
My little B, hopefully on the bandstand.
I hope so too.
You know, I was listening to the new album Live at Smalls, and the thing I love about it is that like the loose vibe. Did you guys plan on doing a live record first, or did you do the recording and then it turned out really well and you decided to release it?
It was all planned, you know. Spike,
okay.
Spike has the Smalls Live label, and
right,
you know, two nights on the weekend, and we just took the best from the two nights, you know.
One of the things that I really dug about, you know, in reading about how you go about playing and composing and conceiving music is sort of dealing with the emotion of it.
I mean, that's kind of like the way I learned music, you know. I grew up sort of around a lot of music. My dad's a gospel musician, and My great uncle is a famous jazz drummer. He's a second generation bebopper. Early on, when I first learned how to create music, my dad brought me this electronic Casio guitar. It was my first instrument. I think I was like 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
Just the sounds made me happy, and different sounds, the way different notes matched against others. The way two notes can convey happiness or it can convey sadness.
Right.
I think that's the reason why I actually began to compose. My teacher was Jackie McLean, and he always talked about, you know, writing our own music. And I remember listening to his music, and I was like, man, every note, you know, the way he was able to express a note, even when he was improvising, you know.
Right, yeah.
What he would do just to convey certain emotions, and that was a big inspiration for me.
Thank you.
that the way that Jackie talked about the music? Like, did you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, at the time when he was coming up, there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I was having this conversation with Victor Lewis yesterday, and I was saying how, you know, music can really portray what's going on in the world, you know. I mean, at the time, you know, New York was changing. You know, the world was changing. Civil rights movement, you know, the war on drugs, Vietnam.
Right.
You know, there was a lot going on in the 60s and the 70s. And, well, before then, in the 50s, you know, with Prohibition and, you know, just different things. The musicians having cabaret cards really put a hindrance on a lot of projects being made. So the musicians, they that was their way of expressing themselves. You can really hear it in the music, what's going on in the world.
Hmm.
Like those, like that 20-year period was like the most influential music came out as far as like a global view, you know. There was so much happened in that, yeah, in that 20-year period, and the music reflects it.
So, what about now, like, in terms of your goals as a composer, what are, you know, do you have anything that you're trying to convey?
I feel that the New Jazz Workshop record and the Smalls release, and that was pretty much the statement that I had to make for the past 10 years. You know, I've been working in New York since 1999. I got my first gig. I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And, you know, making the trek back and forth. So,
nice drive.
Yeah, you know, yeah, sleeping in Grand Central and sleeping on studio floors and ridiculous hotel bills, you know.
Yeah.
So all the music that I've written in that period, I think I took some of the best or some of the ideas that I felt what was happening now from what best represented what covered the past 10 years.
So do you feel like with these records that you're expressing that, you know, in the same way you talked about Jackie McLean expressing the emotions of his time, you know, that with New Jazz Workshop and with your Smalls release, you know, these are all the concepts that you're grappling with that...
Yeah, man, you know, that was a reflection of, you know, the past, you know, specifically the music was a reflection of what was happening with me in a sort of a 5-year period of me coming to New York and learning what New York is all about and going home and trying to mesh the two, you know, and write and
play
and play, you know.
Yeah.
And so when those records came out, I was like, man, okay, bam, that's where I was.
I'm a bass player as well, of course, and the things that I admire in your playing are, you know, this big, wide, fat quarter note and your sound, and then sort of the melodic aspects of your lines. And I'm wondering if you can speak about the ways in which you've worked on developing these aspects of your playing.
I studied with a bassist named, my first teacher was named David Santoro. Hearing him play, first time I heard him play upright, he had a big sound, and he's very melodic and everything. And then at the time, I was checking out a lot of Mingus, and I loved the way Mingus would, like, tear into the bass. It felt like the bass was a little pig and he was a werewolf. He just ripped it up, you know? Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, Mingus would also make the bass cry. Like, you could
hear absolutely.
The bass crying in some of his notes. And that emotion, it really intrigued me. So I used to try to emulate that. You know, early on, even if I didn't know, you know, how to play changes, I was just trying to pull the strings, you know, with intensity. I've always, you know, I believe that the bass is the driving force of everything that's going to happen when it's supposed to happen and when it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And as a bass player, you have to be an instigator, you have to be a bus driver,
mm-hmm.
you have to be a support system, you have to be a magician. All at the same time, and it's sound, and everyone always has to know where we are or what's happening. Now, me as a band leader, I've always my favorite. You know, I'll just say this now: I'm not a big fan of bass solos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to put on a record and hear 7 bass solos out of 8 or out of 9 to 10 tunes, you know. I'd rather hear 1 or 2 awesome solos from the bass player and, you know, just move on. Because I'm already listening to what the bass player is doing.
Hey, Desiree, let me ask you a question a little bit about Hartford, because I've played with Josh Evans, and I love his playing, and I know he's playing on this record, great trumpet player. But I just, you know, every time I meet a new musician who came out of the Hartford scene, it's just this really unique situation of people coming up under Jackie McLean, and but also in a real community that's not that far from New York or Boston. What did you call it? The black hole.
Black hole, man.
Well,
Jackie Mac called it Mars.
Okay, well, I'll still call it Hartford, but I mean, is there anybody else up there that we ought to know about that we might not know about?
There's some minis coming out, man. Of course, Jonathan Barber is the new, he's like the king of Hartford now. He's EMAC's protege. I mean, the kid can really play drum. I actually just did a record with Jonathan, J.D. Allen's new record. I think it's J.D.'s first quartet record.
Oh, great.
You know, I remember I met him when he was 13.
Wow.
He was a gospel drummer. He was playing around town, and I was playing this gig, and I was like, hey, man, you ever check out Jimmy Kyle? You ever check out these cats, Art Blakey? And I was like, man, why don't you go to the Artist Collective, you know, because Jackie Mac had the, you know, had the program there. And he did, and he followed through, and he ended up going to Hart and becoming an EMAC student, and, you know, now he's playing all over the world, you know.
So much. I wish we could keep talking. We could keep going. And I really appreciate your time and your music and everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been great, right. Great talking to you, great hearing you, and I look forward to playing soon.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. You know, most definitely.
Douglas's, and, we got to stick together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
And man, I wish you two the best success, man. You know?
Yep. And we'll
we'll
be in touch soon and hope to see you in the flesh.
So thank you again to Deseron Douglas for spending time with us and for all the great music.
We are going to inaugurate a new feature of the A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast.
Wait, I think we need one of these.
Oh, man. Okay. Yes, that is definitely a signifier. Listener mail. We're getting letters from young musicians and other people, and I, over the years, I always get emails through my site, and I try to answer everybody.
You've been, I remember over 10 or 12 years ago, doing the same and getting a response. So thank you.
Pretty much answer everybody, and you know, people give me CDs, and I'm very grateful to hear a lot of new music. And I, if there's an email on the CD, I usually write back. And,
wow.
And I check everything out. I like it. Show. And you know, we met at the Banff Center.
We did.
And 2001. I don't know. I think when people are really genuinely interested in the music, you just connect, and whether the person's a musician or not. Music is something that really, you know, makes a community, unites people, brings them together. And so I got this email very recently from a young trumpet player from Columbia City High School, whose name I guess I probably shouldn't put out into the cyber universe, but, you know, plays with a high school jazz band and wanted to know if he could ask me some questions about improvising. And, you know, this is definitely not an easy thing to talk about. So, okay, his question number one was, what makes an improvised solo good? And I thought, you know, of course I wrote back with my ideas. I think that, you know, it's always good when there's the melody or, you know, the main motive of whatever's happening in the music is still present, because that's how you make a listener feel like, okay, on some level, no matter how abstruse, this is making sense. This is leading me somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or leaving me in a place where I'm comfortable being. Or leaving me in a place where I'm uncomfortable, if that's how you would like to experience things. But, you know, I also thought it would be really interesting to put this question out there and see if anybody else would write in with their own thoughts about what makes an improvised solo good. I think obviously there's infinite qualities that make a solo good, but like I said, the melody, the context of the song seems to be one of the main elements that you'd need to keep in mind.
Right.
Okay, so his second question was, how do you play with the rhythm?
Like
infinite answers. Yeah, again. These are like great questions. Yes. He's probably 16, and you know, thank you so much for your question.
Yeah.
And I thought about it a little bit, and I'm also thinking, you know, how can you answer this
different types of times and concepts of time.
Right. So it seems like developing a solid rhythmic foundation is sort of
key.
Rule number one, you want to be able to play without speeding up or slowing down. Then you want to be able to play on different parts of the beat. You know, you hear different musicians, and the reason they sound different is some of them play on top in front of the beat, and some play behind the beat. So, like, I think one of the reasons that Miles Davis' Kind of Blue is the ultimate all-time best-selling jazz record, whether without any quality judgments, but there's four different main soloists, and they all have a very, very different
character.
Approach to the time, and that's kind of what keeps you listening and keeps it exciting, even though it's so relaxed.
And a good conversation, you know, piece for a lot of musicians are sort of odd sounding rhythm sections, and I had a conversation once with Ethan Iverson about weird rhythm sections, and you know, Ray Brown and Elvin Jones on the Cedar Walton album, you know, Ray's way up on the beat, Elvin's behind the beat, and it creates this tension that's actually pretty incredible to listen to in a very good way. So
that's great. Yeah, I also suggested practicing polyrhythms, you know, layers of two against three against four, and then taking your ideas that you're working on and moving them to different parts of the bar.
The bar, right.
So an Starting idea that you
one,
would normally start,
start
on beat
on
one,
four,
do it on beat two,
and
or
then
do it on the
end
of two.
Right, sure.
And then his third question was, what can a person do to prepare for an improvised solo? And I almost feel like I just want to leave that out there. Maybe Ethan Iverson will call in and give us his opinion about what to do. But, you know, it depends what kind of improvisation you're talking about. There's so many different ways, especially these days, even within jazz, different ways of approaching improvisation. But if you take music as a whole, it's just the infinite ocean of human experience. You know, we're improvising right now, as we
certainly
about
are
this, about this podcast. So, you know, I'm assuming that he's trying to learn jazz standards, and I said, learn the song in all keys.
that I think
learn
is the key.
The guide tone lines and the voice leading to move from one chord to another. You know, maybe try starting by singing those guide tone lines and voice leading. And then try to encounter the entire form of the solo and consider where you want to put the high points and low points, how you want to tell the whole arc of the solo.
Wow.
So that you can, you know, say the right things at the right time. I think it's very easy to just go out in a solo and just, if you're too excitable, everything happens.
I think I need to go home and start working on this, actually. I like that one a lot.
I think I'm about to be cut off. All right, I took the hint. I'm moving on. Thank you for listening to A Noise from the Deep, the Greenleaf Music Podcast. I'm Dave Douglas.
And I am Michael Bates.
And if you're listening to this more or less when it comes out, and that is probably in your time zone or frame of reference, this would be in early April, I'll be in Colorado and Wyoming and Oklahoma.
Wow, nice. Which band is this?
I'm playing with my quintet with Greg Garrison on bass, Eric Gunnison on piano, John Gunther on reeds, Rudy Royston on drums.
Nice.
And then at Dazzle in Denver, we'll be joined by Aoife O'Donovan. So we're playing music from the new record, Time Travel, and also from Be Still. And I hope to see everybody out there. And I guess we'll go out with a piece.
Yeah, could we hear some of that music?
No, absolutely not. Have a great week, everybody.